The cold awoke Anand very early, even before the morning call had sounded. Shivering, he opened the chest that sat at the foot of his bed and pulled out a rough woven wool blanket and huddled under it, marvelling at how the weather had changed. The weathermasters must have decided that today was to be a challenge, something to toughen up the students in their care. Through the window, the sky was a stony grey, hung with the dark coils of rain clouds. Anand wondered if there would be a storm. Did his chest contain a waterproof cloak, or was he supposed to put up stoically with a soaking? What if he fell ill as a result? But what he was really worrying about, underneath these flitting thoughts, was how the lesson with Abhidatta would go, and what would happen if he failed once again. Then it was time to start the day. Along with the other apprentices, he pulled on the heaviest caftan and leggings that he could find, and put on a furred cap. At the bottom of the chest he did, indeed, discover a waterproof cloak, which he wrapped around himself thankfully as he made his way to breakfast. The freezing wind knifed at his face, making his eyes water. He was looking forward to a cup of hot, aromatic tea, the kind they'd served yesterday, and maybe a spicy paratha stuffed with potato filling. But when he got to the dining hall, there were only lukewarm bowls of rice porridge and a basket holding shriveled green apples. He let out a groan, then bit it off, startled, as the boy behind him jabbed him in the back. "Quiet!" scolded the boy, whose name Anand didn't know. "Part of our training is to accept cheerfully whatever comes to us. If you get irritated, you'll be given even more difficult situations. And since you're in our group, so will we." The boy picked up his bowl of porridge and gave Anand a knowing look. "And it's no good pretending to be happy while you're upset inside," he added. "The healers can tell." Chewing on his apple, which was every bit as sour as he had expected, an abashed Anand mused over this. How did people accept unpleasant things cheerfully? And how could they make themselves happy when they were feeling irritated, or miserable and nervous, as he was right now? Such mental dexterity seemed as difficult to achieve as controlling physical pain or translating the wind's words, and he was afraid he'd be equally unskilled at it. The Hall of Seeing, a low, round structure built out of intertwined trees, comforted Anand with its familiarity as he stood before it, for he had been here with Abhidatta before. But when he followed his fellow apprentices inside, stepping through the doorway that was formed by two silver-barked trees that arched to meet overhead, a wave of bittersweet longing washed over him. This was the place where he'd last seen his family, shimmering against its magical walls. This was where he'd made his agonizing, fateful decision to not return to his parents and his sister, Mira, to remain instead in the valley so that he could develop his gifts and help the world. He'd asked Abhidatta to use his skills to modify his family's memory so that they would no longer be sad at his absence, and Abhidatta had done as he'd requested, wiping Anand from their minds. "But now," he thought, "it seems like I did it all for nothing, because I don't seem to have any gifts. Did I make the wrong choice?" "Anand," Abhidatta's voice broke into his doubts, "here you are.